Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. Well, to be honest with you, it's not just me. There's a lot of people that assist me with getting this information out to you. And I actually have to thank those people because without them, you wouldn't be able to hear me. So for all of you that help me get the information out to people that need to hear it, I want to wish you a thank you. Yeah, I want to give you a thank you because there's a lot of things that go on in the background that most people don't really understand. Most people don't realize how the sausage gets made. And speaking of making sausage, guess what's going on right now? Go ahead and guess. No, that's not it. Nope, that's not it either. Okay, I'll just tell you. The Federal Reserve, they're meeting. Yeah, that was it. The Federal Reserve is meeting. And you're saying to yourself, okay, so don't they kind of like do that on an ongoing basis? So what's the big deal? Well, the Federal Reserve actually has a lot of influence on what goes on in this country monetarily. And that monetary link is actually connected to everything that you and I would choose to invest in. It is. It's actually connected to all this stuff because the monetary system is how America operates in spite of all this Bitcoin stuff that's going on out there and all the articles that you're reading about, all these billionaires investing in a fake currency. The Fed actually drives monetary policy in this country. And in spite of what you've heard, we're still on a gold standard, although you've heard that there's talk of taking us off that gold standard. And now you're saying to yourself, so why is all this important now? Why do you bring this up? Because decisions are being made right now that will affect you and me. They will absolutely affect you and me. Things like, what should we do with the interest rate? Maybe we should leave it alone. Or maybe the interest rate needs to adjust upwards. See, there are people sitting in that meeting that have the power to vote either way. And whatever they vote turns out to be what happens. Now, I think there's a mechanism in place that, you know, there's somebody up the food chain that could overturn what the Federal Reserve does. But do they? I've never seen it. So those are some of the things that they're talking about. I mean, they're discussing what's been going on in the economy. I mean, recently we just had 235,000 jobs created in this country. You heard that report last month. But the problem with that report is that's really 500,000 short of what we were expecting. Yeah. But the good news is the unemployment rate has at least fallen from 5.4 to 5.2%. And the Federal Reserve is taking this information into account. They are taking it into account. Another thing they're talking about is they're talking about what's going on with COVID-19. Yeah, COVID-19. It is still around. It is a mutating virus. It is causing problems again in this country. This new variant is causing problems in America. As a matter of fact, we have seen the number of deaths increase, and that doesn't make any of us very happy. Not only are more people dying, more people are tending to get sick because this Delta variant is a different strain of what originally came out to attack us. Now, those of us that got the inoculations, you know, we're thinking we're going to do okay. But apparently this Delta strain is affecting people that have the inoculation, that were vaccinated. So we're still fighting this COVID-19 fight. There are people in Washington that think we need to go back to lockdown, we need to mask up, we need to stay away from other people. There are people in Washington that don't agree with that. And there are people in Washington that, you know, would agree with some of it, but not all of it. That's just how Washington works. So we're waiting to see what decisions Washington, D.C. makes. And how will COVID-19 impact the Fed's monetary policies? I don't know. But once the Fed is done meeting tomorrow, Jerome Powell, he's the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he'll conduct a press conference, and he's going to tell us what they decided. Now, the Fed, what they're looking at are things that can help stimulate the economy. And one of the things that they're looking at is a $120 billion per month. You heard me correctly, $120 billion per month bond buying program with ultra low interest rates. So how does that affect you? Well, probably doesn't affect you immediately or directly, but you have to think about why is the federal government buying bonds? Why are they putting $120 billion per month into bonds? And what are bonds? Well, bonds are really just certificates that promise to pay you a certain rate of return, but the federal government's saying, we'll go with some ultra-low interest rates. So that, to me, means like almost 0% financing. So why is the government putting so much money into the bond market? And ironically, probably not paying a whole lot in interest. Well, these are the things that the Fed is discussing. Yeah, they're discussing this stuff. And when we come back from the break, there's a couple other things I'm going to tell you about that they're talking about in the Fed meeting. And some of those things have to do with the job market, inflation, and, well, let's just stop with inflation because you might hear something in the next segment that's going to rock your world. Stick around.
The other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little late coming back and saying welcome back to the show because I just received a text from my broker, and it has nothing to do with the fact that we're buying a house. No, this is another opportunity. It's for a fourplex, and my son is actually had in the back of his mind, he's considering buying a fourplex. So, you know, this is just an example of establishing good relationships with people who are on your team, because when they find something that appears to meet your investing criteria, they send it to you for review. Now, during the break, I actually analyzed the property, and I think, okay, this might work out for John, but I need to send it to my son to let him review it because he would be the actual person buying the property. But that's just kind of how this real estate thing works. I mean, opportunities show up everywhere. Now, what I need to do now is I need to give some credit to a gentleman that provided me a lot of content for today's show. And if you know me reasonably well, you know that one of the things that I do is I tend to dig into people's background when I'm looking at the information that they are sharing. Because I'm one of those people that believes that not everything that gets published is accurate. Yeah, I'm one of those people. As a matter of fact, I will tend to weigh information heavily or lightly just based on the background of the individual providing me that information. So if I have somebody writing an article telling me how to make millions of dollars in real estate, I want to find out if they've actually been there and done that. I do. I want to find out if they've been there and done that, because if they've been there and done that, they understand a roadmap to success. So I'm curious as to what information they would share with me. But if I find somebody that writes an article like that and they, you know, their experience is they just graduated from college and maybe they have, you know, a freelance writing position and they're just creating articles for somebody, I tend to discount that information. Not that somebody like that is incapable of giving me solid information, but the experience factor isn't there. And when the experience factor isn't there, I have to kind of analyze the information a little more deeply, because that's just how I roll. Now, the gentleman that I'm about ready to introduce you to, his name is Raghavan Mayur. Now, I hope I didn't destroy his name, because, I mean, it's a name that I'm not very familiar with. But what I am familiar with is his work. This gentleman, he directs the IBD Tip Poll. Now, the IBD Tip Poll is Investor's Business Daily combined with TIP. I'm not even sure what TIP stands for, to be honest with you. I'm really not 100% sure what TIP stands for, other than the fact I think they're the polling arm. And Raghavan manages the most accurate poll in this country. Yeah, I think he's doing a really good job at dialing in on information that people need to understand. As a matter of fact, one of the things that he's been able to do over the past 30 years is to accurately predict the winner of the last five presidential elections. Yeah, that to me, even though I don't necessarily agree with the outcome of this last election, that's just my personal opinion, he called it. He called it. And it is what it is. So when somebody is able to put together information that is relevant, that is factual, that actually gets to the end result, I have a tendency to listen to somebody like that. So I actually appreciate this guy writing this particular article talking about the Fed, because what he's doing is he's dialing in to the important elements. Whether you are invested in real estate, whether you're invested in the stock market, whether you're invested in gold or silver or cryptocurrency or timeshares or whatever you are invested in, the information that he put together is relevant for all of us. It really is. So when I was talking earlier about, you know, what's going on with the Fed, well, we kind of know what's going on with the Fed. I mean, they're talking about the fact that we have this virus, and economists have become pessimistic, and they've actually reduced their growth forecast for the year, because all of a sudden we thought we were ahead of this pandemic. We really did. We thought that we had gotten ahead of this thing, and then this Delta variant came out and it kind of just stopped us dead in our tracks. Now we are working our way through it. You know, we're trying to figure out, do you need a booster shot? What do we need to do to finally make this deadly disease go away? But because we've had spikes because of a new variant, people become hesitant. People become cautious. And I understand that. I get that. The thing that you need to consider is that the virus factor will likely deter the Fed from making or taking policy steps towards reducing asset purchases. Yeah, that's what the Fed does. They buy assets. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? You didn't know that the government actually buys assets. Well, when they're buying bonds, bonds are assets. Yeah, so the government is taking title to financial instruments. Now, when it comes to that job market, in the last segment, I told you the disappointing news, which you probably already knew about with regards to the number of jobs added. I mean, it came at half of what we were kind of hoping for. But ironically, the unemployment rate has actually been pretty stable at 5.4, and it's actually reduced down to about 5.2. So that's actually good news. But here's the thing you need to consider. Will the Fed wait to see how the recent expiration of emergency employment benefits will affect the labor market? Yeah, that's going on out there. Remember, all those people that were paid to stay home, that were given bumps to their unemployment benefits. I mean, there are people that are currently receiving unemployment benefits that admit it, that are making more money than they would make if they went back to work. And that's, you know, that's kind of what's going on in this country. So some of those people are going, if I make X, but I have to go back to work and I only make Y, and Y is less than X. Oh, by the way, I got to put in 30 to 40 to 50 hours a week to get that Y. Why would I do that? I'll just stay with X. Well, that's coming to an end. So when you combine all that with a lukewarm job report, what do you think the Fed is going to do? Will it caused the Fed to slow down and take a wait-and-see approach to any future action, such as maybe tapering asset purchases? I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not in that meeting. But I will tell you this. The people in that meeting are making decisions that will affect you and me. Yeah, they have control over something that we have absolutely no control over. And ironically, when it comes to investing, I think you need to have control. And I think that if you're not in control of your investments right now, all of you 401k and IRA people out there, you need to find a way to get control. And real estate can help you do that. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into the discussion of inflation.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I got distracted again because my son texted me back and he goes, hey man, the numbers kind of maybe work on this property. What do you think we ought to do? So what I did was I double-checked his numbers, and I agreed with him. So I said, well, you know, right now I'm on the radio, but go ahead and make all necessary contact with our agent, and let's see about taking a look at this property, because what we need to do is we need to do a visual inspection of it and, you know, see what's going on there. Yeah, that's how this real estate stuff works. I mean, so ironically, in the middle of a radio show, not only did I receive information from an agent that I've developed a relationship with, and by the way, we will teach you how to do this when you become a Lifestyles Unlimited member, they actually sent me a qualified property. What's a qualified property? Well, a qualified property is something that meets a certain asset test. In other words, there is something about that property that makes it pass screening criteria. Because I don't want to look at everything that's on the market. I don't have an interest at looking at properties that will not work for my investing strategy. That is a huge waste of my time. It's a huge waste of my broker's time to send me properties like that because I won't buy them. Yeah. But when Bonnie sent me this property, I went, oh, that property, it's actually pretty nice because it's, I'm not going to tell you where the property is because first of all, I'm not trying to sell anybody any property. But what I am telling you is this, based on research that John and I have done, this property is in an area that we checked the box and said, okay, if something comes up in that area, we're going to consider it. Now, within that area, we also know that there's a certain price point where properties in that particular area just stop making sense. Additionally, we also know that there are certain rent values in that particular area. And if the target property is not projecting to us that the rents are at a certain level, then we know based on where the rents are at compared to what the pricing is for the property, it's not going to work. Well, this particular property, it gets past that screening criteria. Now, this property happens to be a fourplex. Yes, and it is fully occupied. In other words, all four units have an existing resident in those units, and there's probably a lease in place. There's nothing in the listing that tells me that anybody is on a month-to-month lease. The strategy my son is following is to acquire something very similar to this in a location that works for him, where he can buy it as an owner-occupant. Now, what that means is he will have to time the closing of this property so that whoever's lease runs out first, that's the person that has to move. I mean, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? It sounds terrible that you're going to make somebody move. But that's how the real estate world works. And when you own property and you have residents in place, they have to understand that if there's no lease in place, there's no guarantee that they will stay there any longer. So that's one of the considerations John's got to make. So what we'll probably do at the end of this radio show is we'll probably just connect with Bonnie and we'll you know, see if we can take a look at the property. Now, we may not be able to see the interiors of the property, but we can pretty much get a decent feel for how the property is being operated just by touring the outside, because if the outside's in bad shape, chances are the inside is in bad shape. If we decide to move forward with this property, we'll make an offer on the property. We'll make that offer subject to inspection, and we will get into all four units, and we will analyze all four units, and we will determine whether or not there's a ton of deferred maintenance in there, which could throw all the numbers off. And if it does, that's okay. We can go back to the seller and say, hey, you know what? Your price worked if everything worked, but not everything works. So as a result, we might have to either step away from the deal and let you sell it to somebody else, or maybe you'll reconsider your price and maybe your price point will match our price point. We can proceed with the deal. That's really how it works. Even in a seller's market, that's still the way it works. All right. So what we were talking about was this IBD tip poll that came out that Raghavan Mayur put together. And in this poll, I mean, well, it's not really a poll. It's actually an article. I mean, he runs polls, but he also writes articles based on the results of the polls. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But this is an analysis specifically on the Fed. And one of the things that he believes, that the Fed believes, is that long-run inflation of 2%. Yeah, long-run inflation of 2%. That's kind of where the inflation rate has been for a very long time. In this country. And it's measured, you probably wonder, okay, so how do you measure that? All right, well, you measure it based on the annual change in the price index for personal consumption expenditures. Yeah, you asked me, I told you. That's the one thing that if you measure it, you get the most consistent number. Yeah, it's just the way it works. So in 2021, inflation, as you probably are well aware of, has been significantly higher than what the Fed wants it to be. Yeah, the personal consumption expenditure currently stands at 4.2%. 4.2%. That's more than double what the Fed thinks it should be. And if you take out food and energy costs, if you decide that you're not going to measure personal consumption expenditures because food and energy costs are something that, you know, it's more of a need, not a want. I mean, because think about it. You can go out and buy things that you want, but things like food and energy, you kind of need those things. So when they strip those expenses out, we're still at a 3.6% increase. Now, back in last June, the Fed projected that the PCE inflation would be between maybe 3 and 3.9%, with the median at 3.4%. But obviously, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening at all. As a matter of fact, as early as May, we got to that 4% number. So we exceeded what the Fed thought inflation might do. And there have been some signs of inflation moderation. Unless you're buying gas in California, I just read an article today that somebody in Mendocino, California, was just absolutely perturbed at the cost of gas out there. Now, okay, cost of gas does get affected by inflation. It does. Okay, the cost of energy. We talked about that a moment ago. So fuel is kind of like one of those need things. It's not necessarily a want thing unless you're going on vacation. It's more of a need thing, right? Okay, well, the other thing with gasoline is that depending on where you're buying it, you're going to get taxes layered on top of it. And it just so happens that in California, I think that's the one state that has the highest layering of taxes. So that's part of the problem that's going on in California is that their taxes are based on percentages, not necessarily fixed numbers. That's what I think. I didn't qualify that, but I'm pretty sure that's what I remember from when I lived there. I think the big takeaway, though, is that Americans are actually starting to get worried about inflation. We're starting to see some price increases in energy, in food, and groceries. And those price shifts can cause consumers to stop cutting back on spending. Now, I will tell you this. I love a good New York strip steak. I really love a good New York strip steak, and I barbecue them with the best of anybody. 6 months ago, when I was at my local grocery store buying those beautiful steaks that I love. Now, I didn't buy the prime. I bought the what do they call it? The standard or, you know, the entry level. Okay, entry level grade. Not choice, not prime. The one that's left over. $7.49 a pound. Yesterday, I went back to that same store and I bought the exact same types of steaks. $12.49 a pound. Now that is inflation. We come back, more on inflation. Stick around.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Whew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. I had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so yeah, this fourplex thing is actually kind of looking pretty good because when I ran the numbers, what it's telling me is that because my son's strategy would be to buy this thing as an owner-occupant, live in it for a year to meet the requirements of the FHA, because that's what the FHA does. They provide mortgage financing for individuals that are looking to buy property. Now, in this particular case, John will be buying property to live in because he only has to put 3.5% down as an owner-occupant. If he were to buy this as an investor, he would have to put at least 20% down. So the strategy here allows John to not consume all of his money. Yeah, not consume all of his money, because what we're looking to do is take a lot of the money that he has put aside. And trust me, this 23-year-old has a lot of money set aside because he's been investing in apartments since he was 19. And as a result of that, we want to get that money moving in multifamily also. But we also are, you know, he wants to be on his own, and I'm totally fine with that. I mean, he lives with us, not because he has to. It's because basically I said, dude, why don't you just live with us? Because otherwise you're just going to go pay rent somewhere and you're throwing money away, and I'm not going to charge you rent. So yeah, it's kind of win-win. Anyhow, getting back to this fourplex, what I'm looking at on my projections and is that this thing has the potential to start pushing off probably about at least $1,000 a month in positive cash flow at the end of the year that he lives in it. So that makes it an interesting investment opportunity for John. But the other thing is, we have to sit down and we have to weigh out everything. Is he better off buying that property and living in it for a year, or is he better off investing in multifamily as a lead investor, because he's fully qualified as a lead investor? Is he better off doing that and staying transportable, which allows him to not be locked down to a location, meaning he can go anywhere in the country where it makes sense for investing? And one of the things that we're learning from a lot of our national members is that there are a lot of great places in the United States to invest in multifamily that aren't in Texas. There's nothing wrong with Texas, but isn't it nice to know that there are other markets out there that will work for you? I think it's awesome. I really do. So let's get back to what's going on with this Fed meeting. I think the big elephant in the room is really inflation. Nobody's talking about it. I don't see news feeds on it. I see plenty of news feeds that say, are we in a housing bubble? And then you click on the darn article, and what do? They bring up the three salient facts that I've been pointing out ever since that became a topic, and they're basically saying, yeah, probably not going to happen, but they're drives me nuts. They are framing the article so that you think, oh, something bad's going to happen, until you read the article, and then you find out, no, nothing bad's really going to happen, because the conditions are completely different than they were 15 years ago. But inflation. Let's get back to that inflation. Do you think it's going to peak? Some people think we're at the max capacity. We have peaked. Others believe, nah, man, that's not true. Because if you lived in the 70s, I did. I was much, much younger back then. But if you lived in the 70s, you felt the sting of rising inflation. Now, with inflation only maybe 2 percentage points above the Federal Reserve's target of 2%, because remember I told you it was like up to what, 4.2%? What do you think the Fed should do? Should they wait for evidence of a sustained decrease in inflation before they make any decisions? Or should they make a decision based on that? Now, we're not in the room. I suppose you could probably turn on C-SPAN and you could watch what's going on. You could at least hear and see what they're talking about. But there's no like button on C-SPAN. I mean, you can't go, oh, I like the way this is going, and hit the like button. It doesn't exist. I think what the Fed needs to do is just leave it alone. Yeah, leave it alone. Don't Mickey Mouse around with it. Let's see if the markets can control this inflationary thing. Let's see if the markets can do that, instead of the government Mickey Mousing around with stuff because they think, oh, I know how to fix this. I know how to fix this. And they create another problem, because they want to help, but they don't know what they're doing. Now, let's talk about something called liquidity. Yeah, and this gets back to that $120 billion a month that the government has been spending to buy government-backed bonds. Yeah. I mean, here's the breakdown. $80 billion a month in Treasury debt and $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities. Yeah, that's what they've been buying. Every month, they bought it this month. Next month, they're going to buy some more, another $120 billion. It's all programmed. Now, the Fed has indicated that it will progressively, I hate that word because it means so many bad things, but that's who's running the country. It will progressively reduce those purchases over the next 6 months. And they're thinking about just completely walking away from him in 2022. But we're not in 2022 yet. Yeah, we're not in 2022. As a matter of fact, I don't think they're going to do anything to change what they're doing in this meeting. All the clear indicators say that, yeah, maybe November is the time they get around to it. But here's the one thing. The one thing that they are talking about in this meeting that affects you, that affects me, that affects just about everybody in America, interest rates. Yeah, interest rates. Interest rates affect us all. Because if we go out and buy a car and we take out credit, we pay interest on that loan. If we buy a house and we take out credit and we leverage that property correctly, and I'm talking about investments and I'm not talking about that home that you live in, but you can get a mortgage for that too, you're going to pay interest on those things. Now, lately, interest rates have been really low. I mean, the cost of money has been really low, right? And maybe we'd like to keep that going, especially if you're in the multifamily investing space, because interest rates are tied to capitalization rates. And capitalization rates are something that is used industry-wide. It is the standard to determine valuation on a property. Yeah, that's how multifamily works. As of the June meeting, when the Fed got together, there were 11 members of the Fed that projected a target level of 0.125% as the interest rate, or what we call the discount rate, for 2022. Five had indicated they were good with 0.375%. And two of those members indicated they were good with 0.625%. So you're thinking, well, dude, I can't borrow money that cheap. That is really, really cheap money. That's correct. The way the banks work is they borrow the money from the Fed at 0.125%, and they turn around and they loan it to you, amortized at maybe 3.75%, and they make their money off the amortized interest while they're paying interest back to the federal government. That's the way the economy works. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it works. So banks are always going to add a margin to that interest rate because they've got a lot of big buildings they have to pay for. They have a lot of employees they have to pay for, and they're providing you funding that you need for your investments. Yeah, even you guys that invest in the stock market that use margin, you get affected by interest rates, don't you? Unless you get some kind of like really cool relationship with somebody that I don't even know about. So this is what's going on in a closed room somewhere in America. You've got 18 people making decisions that are going to affect 350 million of us. And they do this every quarter. This is not new. It's not like these guys just say, hey, you know what? We got to have a meeting. No, they do this every quarter. They sit down and they look at what will they do to refine monetary policy moving forward for, say, the next 90 days while they're trying to look at a long-term projection of maybe 5 years out. But there's a lot of variables in there. So these 18 people essentially make the best decisions that they can based on the information that they have. And remember, everybody also has a bias. Everybody has a bias. I have them. You have them. Everybody's got a bias. So you have to, you know, what are the biases of those 18? And who selected those 18? That's how it all works, man. It's all cool. Let's pull it back a minute. Let's talk about the fact that you need to be in control of your investments. You're not in control of the Fed. If you're investing in the stock market, you're definitely not in control of what assets are being traded in your accounts unless you actually manage that. Not too many people do. But when you get involved with real estate, you're in control. And because you're in control of an asset and you make all the decisions on those assets, that is a better investing vehicle than what you're doing right now. Because those other vehicles out there, they're all impacted by artificial constraints and things that happen that you and I have no control over. We don't have control over interest rates, and those could affect our industry in real estate. Or we just take it for what it is, and we roll with it. Now, if you want to find out how to do it correctly, go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Get signed up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.